Chapter 14. The next morning, Nia and I spent a little extra time in bed together snuggling, despite the fact we had quite a few things to accomplish. The warmth of my wife's skin was quite pleasant, and I enjoyed the soft feeling of her cheek against my chest as she wrapped her body into mine. I drifted in and out of sleep, and while I was awake, I stroked Nia's silky hair and focused on the rise and fall of her chest as she rested. These quiet moments made the chaos of the rest of my life feel worth it, and I took advantage of the intimacy while we had it. Once Nia and I finally pulled ourselves out of bed and dressed for the day, we stepped into the hallway to discover the hallway smelled of maple syrup. Cyrus cooking, I observed, and Nia and I broke into contented smiles before we descended the stairs. Sure enough, when Nia and I arrived in the dining room, nearly all of my friends and family were gathered around and tucking into some delicious-smelling pancakes. The only people who weren't in attendance were Ashla and Arwen, who were already at the academy, and Freya, who was still at the war camp with the shapeshifters. I was glad the Hawk Princess got to spend at least a little bit of downtime with her immediate family, and I was even happier when Aaron told me Vala had gone down to the camp as well. I knew the younger Hawkshifter was feeling homesick, and I prayed having Fenrir and Rhaetreia here would bring her comfort. The only person who didn't seem thrilled by the shapeshifter's presence was Myr, and as we sat around the dining table and chatted happily, I noticed the moose boy was pushing his food around with his fork anxiously. "Myr?" I prompted him. "What's going on? Are you all right?"
"I'm fine,"
he blurted out in thickly accented Mistral. And he suddenly overcorrected his posture so quickly that he accidentally knocked over his cup of freshly squeezed orange juice and sent it flying everywhere.
"Oh, ma, let me help."
Cyrus swooped in with lightning speed, and Myr's cheeks darkened until they were nearly maroon as the umber-skinned summoner wiped up the liquid with a rag.
I'm so sorry, he apologized in his native tongue. "I didn't mean to. I just feel so..."
"Take a deep breath," I urged him. "Things happen."
"I am sorry, Syra,"
he answered my curly-haired wife and Mistral.
"Don't be,"
Syra insisted in a soft voice.
"It's just juice. That's what towels are for."
Once the mess was cleaned up, I waited a moment and then decided to ask Myr what was going on once again. "Myr, talk to me," I said softly in the clan language to afford us some privacy. "Just take a second to calm down and then tell me what's going on."
"It's Vala,"
the moose shifter blurted out right away.
"Though it's also not just about her. It's more about Vala's mother and father."
"Ah," I realized. "I figured as much. You're worried about Chief Fenrir judging your relationship, aren't you?"
"I am,"
Myr confirmed with a small frown.
"I've heard many stories from Vala about her warrior father, and I know how much she values his opinion. He's her role model in every possible way, and she's spoken fondly about how she wishes to be half the leader her father is when she ascends to the Hawk Clan throne. The clans may have become peaceful since you first brought me back to Varlay with your friends, but I know Moose Clan is the very reason Vala was sent here. I do not foresee Chief Fenrir taking kindly to me being involved with his daughter."
"Do you love her?" I prompted him, and his expression softened entirely.
"Very much."
Myr smiled.
"I know I have only known her for a short amount of time, but when we speak, it is almost as if I've known her for my entire existence. Griff, I know it is unlikely a princess of Hawkland would want me for a mate, but I want her to be mine more than I've ever wanted anything else. I know I must sound so desperate and dramatic, but I care for Vala so much. I only wish Chief Fenrir could get to know me before he judges me for my former clan."
"If you truly love her, Myr, you have to fight for her with every fiber of your being," I said. "Show Chief Fenrir how much you care for her, and he'll see it just as clearly as I do."
"But how?"
he wondered.
"How do I show him I am nothing like the moose assassins who attempted to hurt his daughters and then threaten his family? He'll see it when he gets to know you, I replied. He and the other clans might have an issue with Moose Clan, but you aren't involved with them anymore, and haven't been for a very long time. As far as anyone is concerned, you're just a moose shapeshifter who's fighting on the right team. Fenrir will respect you for having our backs and making the right decision.
I sure hope so,
Murr sighed, and then the moose shifter flashed me a grateful smile.
Thanks for the motivational talk, Griff. I really needed the reassurance.
Anytime, I replied, and when I turned my attention back to the rest of the table, I couldn't help but notice everyone was staring at me with curious expressions.
Is everything okay?
Syra wondered as she casually sipped at her cup of coffee. Everything is fine, I replied. Murr and I were just having a little chat about things. I could tell my friends wanted more information, but the fact of the matter was, the conversation had nothing to do with anyone but Vala and Murr. I knew the others recognized the names being tossed around, but I wasn't planning on giving them any further information. It was completely up to the young shapeshifters to handle Freya's parents, and I would give Murr his privacy on the matter. Once breakfast was finished and the dishes were cleaned and put away, I grabbed my coat, bandolier, and gas mask and geared up to head to the academy to get started on my activities for the day. While I wanted nothing more than to linger around at home and spend time with my kids and my friends, there was so much to be done, and I needed to handle business before I could relax. I would make sure to spend some extra time with the children later in order to make up for my absence, but for now, I had much to do and not enough time to do it. Before I went to check in on Queen Lisi and the headmaster, I decided to stop by the researcher's lab to see what Arwen and Ashla had been up to all evening. I doubted they'd found any further evidence in the past 12 hours, but I felt a bit antsy enough to check in anyways, so I made my way down the crowded corridors to their office. The academy's hallways were busier than usual, and I found myself practically ducking as I wove in and out of the throng. The sudden influx of student mages was strange to me, especially since I knew there'd been a massive attack on Hartmire, and I made a note to ask the headmaster. But before I could repeat the sentiment in my mind, I accidentally walked right into a familiar mage I hadn't seen in a while.
Connor! I greeted the dark-haired water mage with an apologetic smile. I'm so sorry for running into you.
Don't even worry about it, Griff,
Connor insisted with a wave of his hand, and then he gestured around.
It's like trying to make your way through an ever-changing labyrinth. I've been trying to get out of this hallway for the past 20 minutes or so.
Maker, what's going on today?
I wondered as I shook my head back and forth.
There wasn't a monster attack, was there?
The Grand Mage has requested more troops in Hartmire Enclave to assist with relief efforts, so everyone is scrambling to receive assignments and make preparations for departure,
Connor explained.
Everyone's going a little crazy over it.
I can see that,
I assessed as I watched a guy run through the crowd at full speed, and then I turned back to Connor.
So what's a mage like you doing out here? Are you going to Hartmire?
I am,
he confirmed with a small laugh.
I'm looking for a friend of mine before I make my way to the aircraft. We're in the same squadron, but I haven't been able to find him amongst all the chaos. Well, I would ask if you're going to be joining us, but I assume by your clothing and casual expression that you're remaining here in Varley?
You would be correct, I confirmed with a nod.
I can't be too surprised by that,
Connor replied.
With your type of power, it's probably best for you to remain here in Varley. It was good to see you, Griff. I really should get going.
Me too, I interjected.
Hey, be safe out there, Connor.
You as well,
he said, and after he winked at me, the water mage continued to push through the crowd of people. Though I didn't know Connor very well, we'd fought together against the Gandor, and I admired his dedication and magical ability. People like him were ideal for our forces, strong, smart, and talented at magic, and I knew Hartmire was lucky to have him join their reparation efforts. After some intense maneuvering, I finally managed to break off from the crowd of people and made it to the researcher's lab. I straightened out my jacket and rolled my shoulders back in an attempt to come across as more professional, and then I walked into the room.
Griff! Arwen greeted me over the top of her book. What a pleasant surprise!
Hello there, I waved at the professor. Hard at work?
Definitely,
she sighed.
It's already been quite a long day, and it isn't even that late.
Arwen was surrounded by a large stack of books, and a scattering of papers so thick, I could hardly see her desk underneath. She wore a simple pair of gold-framed glasses, and her flame-colored hair was pulled back into a messy bun. She was effortlessly sexy, and when she set the book down and smiled up at me, I nearly lost my train of thought. I know this is a premature ask, but I wanted to know...
We haven't uncovered anything new yet.
Arwen gave me a small half-smile.
Unfortunately, Ashla and I tried to recreate the magic I'd tapped into to translate the glyphs, but we had no such luck, so we're back to the drawing board.
I believe in you both, I assured the crimson-haired healer. I know you'll figure something out.
Speaking of finding something out, I'm glad you stopped by, Griff, because I have something I want you and Arwen to see.
Ashla spoke up as she entered the room, and she twirled one of her long black braids around her finger as she crossed over to Arwen's desk. Oh? I prompted her, and the Ice Mage broke into a brilliant grin that showed off her perfect pearl-white teeth.
Yes,
she exclaimed, and her chocolate-colored eyes glittered with excitement. The Ice Mage held a large scroll in her hands, and once she had our attention, she unfurled it in front of us.
I've been thinking long and hard about our inevitable travel up to the moon. I don't see any other way to go about defeating the demon, so I've been preparing for the inevitable. No one of this realm has ever made the trip past the atmosphere, which is exciting in a scientific sense, but a little terrifying when it comes to a more practical way. All of that being said, I've been putting in plenty of hours in the research lab, and I've been combing all of the books the library has about space.
Wow, you're on top of it, aren't you? I remarked with pride. That's great, Ashla. With everything happening, I haven't given as much attention to planning as I'd wanted to by this point.
Which is completely understandable,
the Ice Mage assured me.
And also, why I decided to go ahead and draw up some plans. Our biggest obstacle, and in my opinion, the most pressing issue at hand, is the prospect of us being able to breathe up there. Since no one has ventured beyond the planet, it's hard to assess what it's like, but all research suggests space has a lack of oxygen. Luckily, I've found a solution. Observe my plans for a breathing apparatus.
The dark-skinned former mercenary gently set the blueprints on top of Arwen's desk, and she gently bit down on her full lower lip as she waited for us to look over them. My eyes flew to the scroll, and when they fell upon the drawings, I resisted the urge to drop my jaw. Whoa, I said for what seemed like the millionth time. Ashla, these are fucking brilliant.
Really?
Ashla asked.
These are incredibly well designed, Ashla.
Arwen praised her in a sincere tone, and Ashla's cheeks darkened at the compliment.
Thank you both,
she murmured.
I've been working really hard on these. So I appreciate the compliment.
Are these currently in development? I implored.
I've got one more to go.
Ashla grinned. Damn, I whistled. You're incredible, you know that?
Of course I do,
the Ice Mage giggled.
But I won't contest you saying it over and over again. The praise fuels my ego.
Your ego deserves it, trust me, I replied. And when my eyes fell back to the blueprint, I shook my head back and forth slowly. The helmets were beyond anything I could have ever imagined. A combination of technology and magic. And I couldn't even fathom how Ashla had crafted something so impressive in so little time. The former mercenary had a knack for invention, one that I would encourage further once we defeated Azraneth for good.
If I get back to work immediately, I could have the final helmet ready in a day or two's time,
the Ice Mage continued on. And she folded her blueprints back into a neat, even roll.
Now that the southern armies are here, the clock is truly ticking, and I'd like to have all of the breathing apparatuses ready at a moment's notice, just in case.
I'd like to plan everything out a little more, but I appreciate your readiness, I complimented her, and then I turned to Arwen. As unprepared as I feel, I know we need to start devising a plan to get up to the moon. If the sky is any indication, I fear we don't have too much longer before the walls of the Shadowscape crumble, and Azraneth succeeds in sucking up all of the life on the planet. We need to defeat the demon long before it reaches that point.
Once Grand Mage Kennefic returns from the field, we'll gather the other guardians and begin to strategize.
The professor nodded firmly.
I know you're all more than capable of crafting a battle plan, but I think Galahar would like to be involved in the discussion.
I think he would too, I agreed with her. I want him to be as involved as possible. Same with the other leaders. In the meantime, I'll leave you to your work.
We're going to spend the rest of the afternoon in the lab, but we'll actually be home in time for dinner tonight,
Arwen announced to me.
We haven't had a moment to catch up and spend time with the rest of the family since you left for the southern continent, so I'd say dinner with everyone is long overdue.
Definitely, I agreed with her. We can get everyone together and take a moment to unwind. I think we could all use a nice evening before everything falls apart.
That would be nice,
Ashla smiled. Now, I hate to leave you, but I should probably head over to the dorms and try to find Queen Lisi, I said. I haven't seen her since I returned. And after she's done us such a great favor, I probably owe her a visit.
Fair enough,
Arwen smiled as she tucked a strand of hair behind her ear.
Best of luck to you, Griff.
I'm definitely going to need it, I chuckled before I kissed both of my women goodbye and then braved the hallway once more. The corridor was a lot less crowded than it had been before, but my mind was thoroughly occupied as I walked at a hastened pace. Seeing Ashla's breathing apparatus designs made everything suddenly even more real, and while I was grateful for her taking initiative, I was nervous about the actual moon expedition. After I let my brain spin out for a little while, I forced myself to recenter, and once I was calm, I found myself at the top floor of the dorms, where Headmaster Sleet had told me Queen Lisi was staying. As I reached the door at the end of the hall, I ran my hand through my hair, straightened out my clothes, and put on my most welcoming smile. Then I took a long, deep breath and knocked gently on the door. "Queen Lisi?" I called out. "It's me, Griff!" Within seconds, the door flew open, and I was greeted by the exotic queen wearing nothing but a silky black slip dress and a turquoise necklace. Her mane of raven black hair spilled over her shoulders, and her dark brown eyes were expertly lined with black coal.
"Well, if it isn't my favorite summoner,"
Queen Lisi greeted me, and her full lips curled up into a cat-like smile that made heat spread to my cheeks.
"I'm delighted to see you made it back to us in one piece. I was worried you are going to fall on bad times when you returned from the clan territories."
It wasn't a smooth ride by any means, but I'm still in one piece, I chuckled. There was a pack of shadow minions that had invaded the shapeshifter's main island and wreaked havoc on a few of its guards. But for the most part, everyone made it out alive, minus the minions, of course.
Brilliant,
the queen complimented me, and her dark eyes grew heavy with lust as they flickered over me.
"You're such a powerful summoner and warrior, Griff. I'm unsurprised to hear you took on an entire pack of those heinous creatures. Please, come in and let us discuss things further."
Lisi held the door open for me, and after I crossed into the room, she closed it swiftly behind us, and then sauntered toward me gracefully. "Thank you for the praise," I said as I tried to keep my mind focused. "Now, please, tell me, how are things with you and your soldiers? Is everyone doing all right?"
"The people of Luratamba and Utuna are doing incredibly well,"
the queen reported.
"Your aunt was kind enough to lead us to your headmaster and the Grand Mage. Both were kind to us, and have done everything in their power to accommodate my soldiers and my people."
"I'm glad to hear you've been taken care of," I replied, and I offered the gorgeous Luratamban queen a smile.
"You know, there's one way I could be more thoroughly taken care of,"
Lisi practically dared me as she sauntered over to me. The top part of her dress swept off her shoulder and revealed a stretch of lovely caramel-colored skin. The queen was incredibly beautiful, and it was hard to resist kissing every inch of her impressive figure.
"And what would that entail, Your Majesty?" I asked. But before I could follow up with a second question, the queen threw her arms around my neck and pressed up so tightly against me I could hardly breathe. My heart thudded in my chest, and the pounding sensation only increased when Lisi placed her lips on mine. The queen was incredibly warm in every possible way, and as our bodies merged together even tighter, I became aware of every breath and movement she made.
"Take me,"
Lisi urged me as she brought her lips to my ear.
"I know you asked me to wait until the demon is defeated, but I don't know if I have either the patience or the strength to keep myself off you. Griff, I want you to put a child in my belly. Right here, right now. I will not take no for an answer."